First speaker for tonight. You are aware of the fact that here at South Green Street, we are involved in a number of different works in a number of different places all around the world. One of the things that we have been privileged to do is we have been able to support preacher training. Students that are giving themselves up, giving about 2 years worth of their life to go and be immersed in the study of God's Word and learning to prepare themselves to go and do work full time. And so we have supported a number of men over the years. One young man that we are supporting right now is Robert Hatfield. And Robert is here. His family, Kathy and Abigail and Ben, are all with us. The Hatfields are right up here. And they have a special guest with them also, Roberto, who's also a student at Bear Valley. So let me say this real quick. Robert, student at the Bear Valley, used to be Bear Valley School of Preaching, Bear Valley Bible Institute now, right? An institution that's been near and dear to us for a long, long time. Laura's great-granddad and granddad were instrumental in beginning that work. Laura's dad and brother both taught there and were administrators there until not too terribly long ago. Bear Valley is important to us. We love Bear Valley. And Robert is a student there, and we're thankful that we're able to help him on his journey. And I want to say this before I sit down. As you all know, Neil Pollard was here just not too long ago, just a few weeks ago. Neil and Kathy were here, and Neil's the preacher at the Bear Valley Church, and we just love Neil so much. And one night, whenever we were having dinner with Neil and Kathy, we were talking about Robert and some of the other students, and Neil and Kathy both were just effusive in their praise of Robert and Kathy, and they just went on and on about what a great Christian couple they are, how great they're doing there in Denver. They were just extremely proud of them and excited about the work that they're doing and they're going to do. And so I wanted to share that with you because I know you love and respect Neil, and the opinion he has will go a long way with you, I'm sure, because it goes a long way with me. And so without any other thing to say, I want to introduce Robert Hatfield from Bear Valley School of Preaching, and he's going to preach to us tonight.
Good evening. Can you hear me good enough? That's good. I hope that you don't think that you're going to hear another Neil Pollard. There's very few Neil Pollards around the world. That guy is just phenomenal. And I hope that you don't, another disclaimer, there's another Robert Hatfield within the Brotherhood that preaches in South Carolina. And we talk about what we're going to do in the future about gospel meetings because I get invitations for gospel meetings. I'm saying, I'm still in school. How am I going to do gospel meetings? And they're like, oh, I got the wrong Robert Hatfield. So I've actually been in a conversation about what I'm going to do to fix that issue as well. Thank you guys so much for the opportunity for us to come to visit you. Thank you so much for your support. We realize that without your all's help, it would be a real struggle. It would have been really hard for us to go to school. The issue is I have a fellow guy I graduated high school with that lives almost 20 miles away from me that goes to Bear Valley with me as well. And what happened is he ended up getting some support before I did locally. So I had to start going further out, and Denny Petrillo, which is the president, said, hey, message Bart. He may be able to help you. And you guys have absolutely, I thank you again so much for what you have done for not only me, but my family. And I just hope that we can just put it to work afterwards, the work. We just finished our first year at the school, three quarters of Greek, and I'm glad that the quarter is over with. It has been like drinking from a fire hose. If you can, you go 2 years through a school and you get so much education that you just really don't know if you're going to be able to attain it all. But I've been thankful that I've been around some of the greatest teachers in the Brotherhood. Another connection this congregation has is with a West Virginia boy named Steve Higginbotham. Steve is a West Virginia boy, so am I. I'm born and raised in West Virginia, so I hope that I can give a lesson tonight. that will give it justice as well. As you can tell, my voice is not a voice that you can hear that from somebody in Denver. I'm not from Denver. We originally come from Pike County, Kentucky. Pike County, Kentucky is on the completely opposite end of the state. So if you're ever over in Pikeville area or anywhere like that, that's Pike County, Kentucky. You know, several times through my studies, I come to the point of I don't know the answer to a question. Several times. And you got several good instructors through the Brotherhood, and you got people like Bart. And luckily, Bart shared his email with me, and we communicate through email. And if I ever get stumbled on a question, I always go my way down the hall at Bear Valley Bible Institute. There's somebody there that I can ask a question to if I get stumbled on a topic, and there's always that man there to answer that question. Now, we always run into that issue within the church, don't we? We get asked a question out in public, and we're like, well, I can't answer it. Or, whoa, did I answer it correct? And then we say, okay, maybe I should go run to Bart and say, okay, am I right on this to make sure that we're just matching up in truth here? Let's make sure that whenever I'm proclaiming truth, that I'm actually proclaiming truth, and I'm telling the same answer. We're 100% unified on the answer. You see, in John chapter 3, we have, if you would, turn to John chapter 3. But actually, the context actually starts in chapter 2. Now, we didn't want to read chapter 2 tonight because for the scripture reading, because you would have got bored about halfway through it, because this section of Nicodemus coming to Jesus actually begins back in chapter 2 of verse 18. So chapter 2 of the Gospel of John, verses 18, and we'll focus there for a little while, and then we'll make our way into chapter 3. The reason we start here in chapter 18 is because there's a discussion about the signs of Jesus. Now we know later on, as was read earlier, John chapter 3, verse 1, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says, I know that this cannot be any man rather than be somebody from God that can perform these signs. So you have these issues in chapter 2, verse 18. It says, what sign, chapter 2, verse 18, then the Jews said to him, what sign do you show us as your authority of doing these things? Verse 19, Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews said, it took 46 years to build this temple. And you will raise it up in 3 days. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. But when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered exactly what he was talking about, remembered that he said this, and they believed. They believed the scripture and the word of which Jesus had spoken. Now let's skip ahead to verse 1 of chapter 3. So we have this context in chapter 2, ending at the end of chapter 2. We're talking about signs. And I find it fascinating that the first part of chapter 3, we come to Nicodemus asking about these signs. So tonight, I challenge everyone to be like Nicodemus. And now some people may say, well, how can we be like Nicodemus? The first point I'd like to make is always look for good instruction, like Nicodemus did. Notice Nicodemus in chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night. Now, it's not like Glasgow, Kentucky, and they don't have streetlights at that time. So there's some reason why Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. He don't want anybody to know he's coming to Jesus. So he comes to Jesus. What does he seek for? He explains here, he says, I know that no signs like this could be true unless this man is from God. So he says, then Jesus answers him and says, so you have, not only is he coming to him at night, showing that he is kind of submitting to Jesus, he's wanting to come to Jesus, even though he shows doubt by coming at night, but he's also acknowledging who Jesus is. He's verifying that Jesus is the authority by saying, "You are from God." Now, 3:2 says, or 3:3, Jesus answers him, and he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, or born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, the second point I'd like to make tonight is you need to be like Nicodemus and accept truth. This whole section from chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, is talking about what Jesus says, what someone must do to enter the kingdom of God. See, that's our struggle today in the church with the world. I find it fascinating, chapter 3, verse 16. Everybody here can quote John chapter 3, verse 16. But there's a difference there. You have God loved the world. Well, the issue with the world is they don't want to accept truth. But you see, Nicodemus says, "How can a man enter, be born again when he is old?" He says he can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered him again and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." Verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. But do not be amazed that I say to you that you must be born again." See, just like that, Jesus was producing truth right in front of Nicodemus as Nicodemus comes to Jesus. The third thing is be like Nicodemus and be willing to submit. Now, submit to what? Be able to submit to authority. You know, there's a part within the invitation we say confess. Well, confess is almost like submitting. Confessing that Jesus is the Lord is more than just saying, "Okay, Jesus is Lord," but submitting that Jesus is Lord. Saying, "Okay, Jesus, I give you all authority." So you have verses 9 through 14 that talks about Nicodemus questions him and Jesus replies. So you got 9, it says, "And Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things?" So you have Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, not understanding these things. You don't have him understanding the things that Jesus is proclaiming to him. Verse 11 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony." But there's some part of acceptance of Nicodemus, aren't there? Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night is some part of acceptance. If you say, "Okay, Robert, you go to that back wall and you walk out that door," I have to make an effort to go out that back door, unless I get drug out, obviously, but go out. I mean, so Nicodemus is making an effort to go to Jesus to learn. So then you have verse 12. "If I told you earthly things and you do not believe them, what will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who has ascended from heaven, the Son of Man." Verse 14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted." So verse 15, you have to be like Nicodemus in this next section, 15 through 21. Be like Nicodemus and know the truth. See, Nicodemus knows the truth, and so does most people today. The problem is they don't want to acknowledge the truth. So 15 through 21, and again, 15, we're going to run through 16. But the whole issue with running to 16 is what most of our denominational people, will run to is verse 16. They don't look at the whole broad spectrum of what went on in chapter 3. And then people that takes chapter 3 into perspective, they don't look at what's going on before chapter 3, verses 18 through the end of the chapter. So you have this issue with at the end of chapter 2, talking about signs. Then Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says, "Hey, I know you're doing these signs. I know you're a man of God." So you have verses 15 through 21. So be like Nicodemus and know the truth. Verse 15, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life or eternal life. Now, the issue with most of this, as you know, is the word believe is the only one in that section. But I can take you to the end of, and anybody here can take you to the end of the Gospel of Mark and see what Jesus says. Jesus says that he that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned. I've seen that illustrated, that Mark 16 verses 15 and 16 illustrated the best way. I have a guy back home, he said he has two kids and they don't like Brussels sprouts. They do not like Brussels sprouts at all, but they love mashed potatoes. In order to get dessert, he has to eat both of them. So in order to get dessert, in order to get their goal as a child, to get their goal, they have to do both. They have to eat their mashed potatoes and they have to eat their Brussels sprouts. So he tells him, says, you know, you eat both, you get cake. You eat one, you don't get cake. So the same situation here is with Jesus telling people in the end of Mark, you either believe and be baptized, and then you get your goal, you get your reward. Believe, no baptize, no reward. See, that's our issue in the denominational world today. They think believe and faith only is what saves. I've yet to find a verse at my first year at Bear Valley Bible Institute where it says that faith only saves. Verse 17, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. That's a powerful verse, isn't it? Through him, through Jesus, people would be saved. Not through any other God, no other Muslim God or anything like that. Through Jesus, one God. That's the way people will be saved. Verse 18 says, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does not hate or does evil hates the light, and who does not come to light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Verse 21. But he who practices the truth, see, the conversation here with Nicodemus is still going on. So a lot of people kind of go ahead and get out of this passage, but the conversation with Nicodemus ends here in verse 21. And I find it fascinating that Jesus would say, but he who practices the truth, comes to the light, and so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. So you ask your question this evening. You've heard John 3 several times, 1 through 21. You've actually probably read John 3, 1 through 5, what was read in the scripture reading. But what can we do today as Christians? How can we apply this to our life? What can we do to make a difference in somebody's life? So this week I ask you to go out. Go out this week and find somebody who is not a Christian and invite them to have a Bible study. How else are they going to know the truth unless you teach it to them? See, that's our goal. Jesus told us to go into all the worlds and make disciples. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. If we don't go, we don't go do this task that Jesus has put us up to, then how will they ever know the truth? The struggle with most congregations is, especially back in Eastern Kentucky, is they keep saying, we can't grow. We don't grow. Or the truth hurts people's feelings a lot of times. That's a big issue back home. Or they give in to some doctrinal idea or some doctrinal matter like instrumental music. They give in on instrumental music because they want to attract more people to their congregation. And they say, okay, we're going to give in on instrumental music. And the reason we're going to do this is because we want to attract more people. Could you imagine what the church would be like if we would just do as Jesus says in Matthew 28? To just go. To just go into all the world and make disciples. See, it's the same thing as Nicodemus coming to Jesus. Nicodemus had to come to Jesus. Just like I illustrated, you would have to take me out that door, or I would have to make an effort to walk out that door. Imagine what the church would be today. Imagine what the church would be today if each one of us set up a Bible study. Even if it's just a Bible study to discuss the Bible as far as what books are in the Bible. We fail to do that sometimes as Christians, but because we don't know what to teach them. You got to start somewhere. There's truth in the Bible, and people need to know truth. The gospel needs to be proclaimed. I keep challenging people back home. They say, Robert, what have you learned at Bear Valley that can really help us grow as our numbers keep dwindling down? They keep going down and down and down. They say, what can we do to grow? The first question I ask them is, have you set up a Bible study with them? Well, no. Maybe you need to try that first, wouldn't you think? Because back home especially, and then this is the case with the world, you have so many different angles of biblical knowledge coming to them. They don't know the difference between what's truth and what's not truth. We need to be just like Nicodemus, but we need to be bringing people to Jesus by bringing them to the truth. Now, I say tonight that you have been studying the Bible and you want to make that decision to be like Nicodemus and come to Jesus. Maybe you want to submit to the truth. Maybe you're ready to obey the gospel. In order to do that, to obey the gospel, you have to put on Christ and baptism. Galatians 3:27 says, those who have put on Christ have been baptized, have been put on Christ. Christ has been put onto them. Galatians 3:27. Romans 6:3 says, you've been buried with him in baptism and raised to a newness of life. Now, maybe you've done that. Maybe you've made that decision, and maybe you have maybe you're needing to come forward tonight and make it right. You got to be like Nicodemus and come forward. If you don't come forward, then the opportunity is missed. I always use like this illustration on my invitation. I took this from a fellow brother in Christ one evening at a gospel meeting. He said, on September the 10th, they didn't know what was going to happen in New York City on September 11th. Today's May 26th. We don't know what's going to happen on May 27th, and tonight might be your last opportunity to make it right with God. If it is, please come as we stand and sing the invitation song.